What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, and having the tough conversations.
Yes, and we also talk about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but platonic relationships.
Like the relationship I have with my best friend, Megan Ashley, of 20 years.
20 years, baby.
Yes, baby. Do you know for sure?
I think I know for sure, but what I do know for sure is after this episode, you're going to know something for sure.
All right, you guys. This is a different setup.
Yeah, we're in a different space right now.
A different vibe. We got a lot of people at this table.
Yeah, so this is doing something a little different. We're having more of an intimate conversation with women and men, some of our friends, people that we respect, men that we love and respect. You guys know Bree has been on the podcast before, but we are going to have kind of like an off-script conversation about vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that we as Black men and women don't have enough. So this is, there's nothing this formal. Is this is it.
This we're is, just going to have chilling. A conversation. We're having a conversation. Yeah. We have Tony Gaskins.
Thank you for being here.
We have David Shands. Thank you for being here.
Much.
Alex, good energy.
You guys have seen Alex on
Y'all
the pod.
Y'all seen him. And Tony on the pod, too.
Yeah, and Tony
and
on the pod.
And Renee from the A, baby. So, y'all, I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast. Y'all, we have had a long day already. We have actually been here for a couple hours. So we're going to get right into the conversation.
Yeah, I think we're ready. Does everyone know why they're here? Like, everybody knows what we're here to talk about, right?
I got an idea through kind of like just being here and kind of talking about it. I had no idea, though, before.
No idea what you were walking into.
Oh, I had no idea.
I don't really know either.
Oh, okay.
Good.
So, yeah.
Good.
What about you?
Okay. Good. Good. Well, we're going to talk about vulnerability. Megan, do you have the definition?
I can pull it up. I don't have it on
maybe
here.
Maybe Jay can send it. The definition you of vulnerability.
It?
We are about to read this definition and...
We were talking about the fact that we wanted to talk about vulnerability and I was like, I wonder why we're all so apprehensive
and
about vulnerability.
Vulnerable.
And then I looked up the definition. I was like, oh, well, duh.
She was like, well, let me Google the definition. Y'all, this definition is like, well, yeah, this is why we're scared. This is the definition of vulnerability.
Vulnerability, the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. That is the definition of vulnerability.
That makes complete, when I think about what vulnerability is, as I knew about what we were doing. And when I was doing my makeup and my hair, I'm like, why do I have a problem with being vulnerable? And it was literally for that reason.
Yeah.
I was like, because I feel like what I'm releasing control of the perception that you have of me. So if I give you all of my honesty, transparency, and truth in the ugly, then now you have the right to judge me. You can use it against me. And so that's my biggest fear when it comes to being vulnerable. And I didn't even know that was a definition. So period. I'm a scholar. So
you just trust that no one's going to attack you? Like, I'm trying to understand the benefits of being vulnerable.
Okay, so and we talked about this off camera. David actually has a problem.
Come on, let's not point. I've been attacked already.
But we're going to talk about that. But before we get there,
I want
your guys' verbal consent that you are willing to be vulnerable on this podcast. I need a verbal. After you heard that definition, fellas,
do
I need
we
a verbal.
Have your consent?
Do we have your consent?
You have my consent. Honestly, I don't know if I have the tools to be as vulnerable as you like.
Okay.
I will do my very best.
I love
maybe
that.
You will afterwards.
Yeah. Maybe.
Alex.
I'm gonna give it a shot.
Okay.
So we have your consent?
Yes.
Okay.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Tony, we have your consent. Okay. And before we get to it.
Yeah, so we had each of the fellows write down vulnerability is, and it was blank, and we had each of them write it down. So we're gonna read these, and then if we pulled yours, then you can kind of elaborate.
Okay.
So the first one is vulnerability is accepting my truth.
Which guy do we think that is? That was yours? Okay. Yeah. Okay, Alex.
So what does that mean for you, accepting your truth?
I think that that's something that's not easy for a lot of people to, you know, look yourself in the mirror and accept and even identify some things that you might need to work on, some things that you might have been procrastinating on, and like literally like accepting it and even making it public. You know what I mean? We live in this world where everything is just so doctored up and you know what I mean?
The facade, yeah.
And so when I hear that word vulnerability, that's what I think about. Just like, yeah, really being real with yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Just to follow up on that, do you feel like it's easy for you to be vulnerable with yourself? Like, is that still a struggle? I know it's one thing to be vulnerable with other people, but like when you say look at yourself in the mirror, like, do you have those moments where it's like hard to accept those truths?
I think it's harder to accept it for yourself than even other people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you have to do it with yourself first before you can even be honest with other people.
Yeah, you got to live with that. You got to live with yourself.
Yeah.
You in your own brain. You got to like live with that.
So when you say accept, it's different from acknowledging.
Mm-hmm.
So acknowledging is like, because I feel like we all know our truth. But have you accepted it means like, I'm okay with it.
Sometimes you don't, though.
You never
Sometimes
get to
Sometimes you're
that.
Not aware. You have to become aware of it before you can, like.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. I think it's two parts to that. Like, what you have to do with yourself before others. First, you have to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to accept it. Like you said, that's a real major step. Because if you can't accept it, then you can't even share it with others.
Or you can't even fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go a step further back. I feel like you have to... Before you can even acknowledge and accept it, you have to be willing to see whatever you see. Like, I have to be willing to actually have a mind to be open to see that I might see something I didn't expect to see.
Want to
something
see.
I don't like to see. Something that maybe I was blinded. Like, you have to have the mentality to even go into the mirror being like, I'm open to seeing whatever is
whatever
show
the
me.
Truth is.
Even if I don't like it. And I think that's the scariest thing, is to look at yourself in the mirror and finally see something that you never saw before that might have been there the whole time.
Can you give me an example?
Like, I've had to address loneliness and codependency. Like, I had to address that, like what that, like accepting those truths, that's a struggle for you.
Got it.
But thinking it's hard because I thought I've always been strong and independent.
So like, I can handle this. I can do this.
I can do it. I'm fine. But then when you were put in position where it was like, can you?
Was the answer no, I can't?
The answer wasn't no, I can't, but it was facing the truth of you never had to do it on your own.
Facts.
Now you're doing, like, now, like, you never had to face it because you were never in a position to have to face it.
Yeah.
Now that mirror is there. It's always been there, but you weren't in a position for that to have to be a thing. You know what I mean? And now it's a thing.
Got it. Okay.
So it's like I had to go into looking at the mirror knowing that I may not see something. Do you know what I mean? Before I can even accept it, before I can acknowledge it, I have to go in saying that I may not be as great as I think I am.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the graceful way to go into it. But sometimes you don't even get the opportunity to choose that mirror. Like, to be like, okay, I'm open to seeing this. Sometimes that mirror
it just hits you.
And right in the face. Yeah. And it's like, okay.
But do you think it hits you because you've avoided them?
For sure.
Or you're in a different season.
Yeah,
you're in a different, you have avoided it, and now you're in a season where you can't.
Because I dealt with that with confidence. I've always been confident. In one season I walked into, I was like, I'm actually not confident anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In this season, I am not confident in this season. Mm-hmm. I've been confident in every season. That the mirror hit me.
Yeah.
I didn't go looking for it. I was like, I actually am not confident.
Right. So you didn't sit down with the openness to be like, I'm be open. Same thing with me. When, like I was telling you off camera, in this season, being in a relationship, I realized I always knew, like, oh yeah, I didn't grow up with the father. But I didn't realize, because of that, I've never been disciplined by a man. I've never been corrected by a man. I've never had to cater to a man. So it was like, I wasn't open to seeing how I lacked. It made me feel insecure. Like, dang, I thought I was this good woman. And it's like, yeah, on paper, until you have to deal with the things that you lack.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was like, wow, just that mirror. I didn't choose to be like, I'm going to be open to... It would just hit me.
Yeah.
You know, so I think sometimes we are open, and then sometimes God, life, seasons force you to be like, look.
To shift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's do the next one.
Okay. Vulnerability is dangerous.
David.
That's David Michelle. That's not like David.
Is that a bad answer?
I think based off definition.
He said it's a real answer.
It's a definition.
the real answer.
So can you elaborate on that?
I mean, if the definition is opening yourself for an attack, why would you ever do that? You know what I mean? Like, why would you ever open yourself to be attacked?
It's like the question, like, why would you open yourself up to love if you know your heart could get broken? But what if the opposite happens? That's why you open it up.
I think opening yourself up to be loved is different because you still don't have to be attacked. Like, it's like, yo, if we love each other, I'm opening myself up to be loved.
It's just the possibility, though. Vulnerability is the possibility of being attacked.
But so, so let's say, for instance, I get into a relationship and that person doesn't love me or they hurt my, they break my heart. Well, I decided to get in a relationship with them, but consciously saying I'm going to be vulnerable and open, that's a decision on me for someone to hurt me. If you try to hurt me, at least I didn't like open myself up to say, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to give you my, I don't know, I wouldn't give somebody my deepest, darkest secrets. And I'm married, so I am as vulnerable as I can be right now. But I do have an issue with, I trust people to be people. So if my best friend steals from me, I'm not that hurt because that's what human beings do. So, and maybe that I'm scarred from something. I don't really remember, but I would I don't see the value in opening myself to be vulnerable just for someone to see if they attack me or not. It doesn't make sense to me.
Again, back like you said, it's not like guaranteed that you will be attacked, and there's like a sense of like a superpower. Like it's so many pros that I think that the definition negates. You know, to being vulnerable. So like your vulnerability, let's say in your marriage, can give your wife the power and the strength to be more vulnerable, or even the power and the strength to love you better because she knows your soft spots. If that makes sense.
I feel like it's a level of intimacy too. And I feel like when you are in a certain level of intimacy, your ability to be vulnerable, because we're vulnerable about the things that like are the heaviest to us, right? So when you're vulnerable and you open yourself up and you find safety in a person that you want to build deep intimacy with, then it helps carry the burden of the vulnerability. Like, I'm sharing this with you, so I don't have to carry this alone.
I see.
And that's a level of intimacy that I think that true love requires. And it's like, and yes, you are a human. So I'm opening up a possibility of that regardless, because you're a human. You know what I mean? Of course, there's a possibility, like, you're possible. You're capable of anything because you're human. But if I'm saying I want a certain level of intimacy with you, then I have to be willing to risk the exposure of this because I need help carrying this for this level of intimacy.
And I trust you.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You have to find that.
You have to find that trust.
You have to find that trust.
And I think it's layers. Like, why did Samson tell Delilah, like, yo, my strings in my hair? Well, how does that benefit anybody right now? You feel me? Like, so now I'm giving you the tools to hurt me. When I never had to give you the tools, our relationship would have been cool.
It's but he didn't use wisdom in knowing who to give that to.
Yeah,
that wasn't, he didn't see wisdom.
I would never, I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
In what way does that serve our relationship? By me telling you, my strength is in my hair.
Because now once I tell you, if I'm the right person, right, then I hold high regard to that. I guard your vulnerability.
I protect it.
So now that's you trust me so much more with like anything and everything. Like you said, the level of intimacy and that bond is so much deeper because you know now I can trust you with the deepest, most vulnerable, darkest secrets and part of my life. And I know from your character.
Because it's sacred to
you. And now you have someone looking out for you and making sure that nobody's cutting your hair. Do you know what I'm saying? Like now you have somebody. When you seek wisdom and you ask God, okay, God, like show me the people that I can place my vulnerability in. Because that's a help to you. That's someone helping you carry the burden. We cannot carry
things on our own.
We can't carry it on our own. You as a black man can't carry it all on your own. You can't carry it. I can't carry it on my own. It's not good for man to be alone, God said. We cannot do it on our own, but you have to have wisdom to know where to place that vulnerability because that's the level of intimacy that love really requires. I can't say that I love you and I don't give you my vulnerability.
But I think even it's stages, right? So I think just not even on purpose, but We've been married 5 years. When we're married 15 years, there's probably some things that I'll release because now it's not me being vulnerable for vulnerability's sake. It's like, oh, well, I've learned over 15 years these little things that I've told you and trusted
that
you.
I can trust you here.
I can trust you here. So I'm not a big component of, let me just give you all of me because I feel like we're going to get married today or we're going to get married one day.
I'm not giving you everything. Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's smart. I love that.
Yeah.
Tony, come on, man.
No.
Tony, like, he's like, you're the relationship coach. Get me out here, brother.
No, I respect it. I love the perspective. I like that.
Okay.
Because it is dangerous.
Yeah.
But I feel like we have to look at the word, and you can read mine, because I knew the definition of vulnerability because I've explored that and, you know, sat with it and dealt with it. And so I knew that it meant being open to attack. But at the same time, we have to realize the origin of a word. So that word was written in war. It was written from the perspective of war.
Wow.
It wasn't written from the perspective of love.
Mm.
So had the author of the word been in love, vulnerability would have meant something different. And
ooh, that's good.
So he was looking at it as a negative thing. Like, we're vulnerable here. We need to close that up.
Instead of the opportunity to be protected, the opportunity to be welcome,
or
the opportunity to be loved unconditionally.
Because the definition still applies, but it's just not showing the other
from
side.
From a different lens.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
And Tony's definition or a response was being open to love and be loved. Because that's what it is.
And that's what I would say the definition means if you were relating it to love.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they say, all is fair in love and war.
Mm-hmm.
So inside of a relationship, you may not have love, but we equate a relationship to love. And in a relationship, you get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get hurt, the person who hurt you is not operating from love.
Mm-hmm.
So love and relationship is not synonymous,
mm-hmm.
but we equate them as if mm-hmm. they are. They can be, but I had to realize that sometimes I'm too vulnerable. Because if you're too vulnerable, you bleed on people.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to do the homework and see where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, it comes from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's very open and transparent. You talk to her for 1 hour,
you
don't know everything.
Yeah.
But that also comes from unhealed trauma. So now everybody becomes
like
your therapist.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's a fine line.
Yeah. I think the thing that I love about your response is like to love and be loved is that love is really a decision and a choice. And when you open yourself up, like everybody's love languages is different, right? So say like you open yourself up to your wife to be vulnerable, and then like you're vulnerable, and then her response is something that you weren't expecting. So that could hurt you, even though her full intent
wasn't to
hurt you.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a response that you may have preferred or wanted, right? So you're opening yourself, like that's the risk of being hurt, right? But the opportunity is love isn't conditional. It shouldn't be conditional, and it shouldn't be based off of the other person's response. So it opens that opportunity for you to still love, even though you got a response that hurt you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you're still making, it's just the opportunity to strengthen love. I think vulnerability is.
And that's why I wrote it, because I think most of us are conditioned to love, but very few people know how to receive love.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
So if you notice when you give somebody a compliment, they put their head down. Oh, no, I don't.
No, I'm not.
Versus looking you in the eye and say, thank you. I appreciate that.
Wow, yeah.
And so that's when my life shifted, when I learned that it's one thing to love somebody, but it's a whole nother feeling to allow someone to love you. And in essence, all men are vulnerable. That's how, if you're in the streets, so many guys get set up to be killed. Because their woman knows where their stash is. They know where the money is.
Somebody
knows. So it's, in essence, like, he has an amazing podcast. If he tells his wife in the first year, the secret sauce to my podcast being so successful is my relatability and people respect my character. Well, if he cheats on her and she now knows he's successful because he's respected, now she becomes Delilah and cuts off a stream of income and ruins his whole life. So a lot of times we compare apples to oranges because we're thinking about Samson and Delilah, but for us, our Samson may be our work. Like, our strength is not our hair, it may be our business. And our woman knows that from the first month.
You can see it.
Yeah.
If you're paying attention to your man, you know his strong suits, his weaknesses, whether he points it out or not. But you might not know. I think, and as the relationship grows, you do learn what ticks him off or what could really set him off to the edge. The more you pay attention, that's love. I think you are attentive to what it is that you love.
Have any of y'all ever been vulnerable with a woman and it not turned out the way, like, it was dangerous opposed to being welcoming and loving?
Yes.
Really?
They're all like,
Alex is so sweet. And Alex said, yes. Which camera is mine?
Right.
Absolutely. Yes. That is why I am here.
What happened?
Okay, tell us about it.
He's like, well,
you can go into detail if you don't want to, but we would love some vulnerability.
Man.
Okay. And do you feel like it put a guard up now? You know, like it affects you now?
Yeah. So, you know, when I had never met my father, 39 years, it was like an abandonment thing, I think, that I had. And, you know, anybody that I've dealt with, especially on a dating level, that's something that you can't really hide. Like, I never met my father before. You know what I'm saying? And I think that unconsciously it kind of created, like, not only abandonment issues, but even commitment issues. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that revealing that kind of left me open a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah.
He's like revealing that.
You know what I'm saying? He's in interview mode. Yeah.
you're not the interviewer today, brother.
But what happened? Did she use that against you? Did she bring it up in an argument? Did, because I think that's important, like, and we're going to talk about that later, but Black men being vulnerable and Black women creating a safe space for them to do that and not being the Delilah. You know what I mean?
I think that there was times where if I wasn't being in that moment who she wanted me to be, or if my actions weren't up to her liking in that moment, she would always throw, "You need to meet your father."
Mm. Or, ooh, that's so mean. Wow. Weaponizing.
And that's the first time I ever said that.
Wow.
But I realized that that was kind of like, oh yeah, you got daddy issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's why I shouldn't have told you that.
Right. Or because of your humanity, like, I'm gonna point your humanity to a problem. Like, even if it had, maybe it does have something to do with your dad, but even if it didn't.
But look, but check this out. But look at the effect of it though. Now, there's times now where I'm using it as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, if I do something, like, even if I'm wrong, I'm like, I start blaming it on that as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it opened up that can to where now I'm using it as a crutch.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, yo, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Like, it's either way, it's bad. It's either causing you not to take accountability and shifting blame to him, or it's just you, it's putting a, every issue, I mean, yes, our issues come from how
somewhere,
we grow up.
Yeah.
There's a part of that. But it doesn't mean that, like, you didn't meet her standards meant that you have daddy issues because you didn't meet her standards. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or every little thing that she didn't like, it's because you got daddy. Like, that's not good either.
Yeah.
And that's probably not the only trauma you face in your childhood. It doesn't mean that that issue was from that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like when people weaponize a vulnerable moment or a vulnerable, like something really vulnerable, and weaponize it in an argument.
Yeah.
I think that
horrible.
Is one of the meanest things that you could ever do, and especially with us as women.
I was just about to say,
like, we cannot,
you cannot
do that to each other or
men.
To men.
Yeah.
Like, that
is like your daddy on crack.
It's right.
Like, hold
Jesus.
On.
Right.
Jesus. I told you that.
Because it's going to make you shut down.
For sure.
It's going to make
for
you
sure.
not share it with other people.
Now
in the
I can't
future.
Trust you. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a dangerous game. Like, I see we said that word dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Everybody does it. So everybody is vulnerable and everybody preys on vulnerability.
Mm.
But I think a lot of times we don't process that we're preying on vulnerability.
Mm.
So it's kind of like,
do an example.
It's kind of like if you got a man and you know he's a spender because his heart is big. So you'll get on your phone and go on Instagram and just start looking at shoes and purses and you, I really love this. I really love this. And you know tomorrow it's going to show up. So if you know somebody that is, they'll drop everything they're doing and come help you move.
Wow.
You'll make sure you get on the phone with them. Oh, what you doing? Well, I'm trying to move, getting ready to move. Oh, I'll come over there right now. Versus just giving them the opportunity to show you that they're a good person and saying, hey, will you come help me move?
Wow.
But that's being vulnerable.
That's being vulnerable. But we'll float it out there to prey on the vulnerability.
Mm.
And it's in subtle ways too. And we do it in business with, like, sales.
Yeah.
Like, if you know it's a certain time of year or you know it's a certain type of person,
Black Friday,
and you selling a certain way.
All right, y'all, 2 hours left.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. 6 hours
for
sure. later. All right, y'all, I'm going to extend it. Right. Like, you knew you was going to extend it when you said 2 hours left.
Yeah, right.
I'm praying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're all actively participating in
some type of way.
Until you become intentional.
Until you become intentional.
So what I realized in business, what I would do is I would stick to what I would say. Like I'm on this guy's mailing list and he would do that. Hey, got a sale. And then at the end of the sale, he would say,
it's extended for
24 more hours.
Yep.
And then at the end of that, he would say, it's extended 48 more hours.
Yep.
So he created scarcity. And everybody responded to the scarcity, but then he played on that and he extended it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do, if it closes at 11:59, I'll close it.
That's it.
And that's
and then when 50 people write in, hey, sorry, you missed it.
That's it.
I want you to know that I wasn't playing on you. Mm-hmm. It really ends at 11:59, but I had to become aware that I was preying on vulnerability in relationships.
Wow.
And so I think that's something that if you flip it versus being the victim.
Yeah.
Because to be open to be attacked also means you're in position to attack.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means if you can attack me, that means I'm close enough to you
that I can
attack you. I can attack you too.
I'm going to protect myself.
So it goes both ways.
I might retaliate.
Mm. Good stuff.
Whew.
Is anybody else?
I know. Anybody?
I was going to say, just being vulnerable as a Black woman too, sometimes, even though you would naturally think women are supposed to be vulnerable, we are the emotional creatures. I think because of the society pressures that we're faced with, I feel like as a Black woman, I've had to like suppress emotions, be super this one way all the time. Nobody ever sees me upset. Nobody ever sees me angry because I don't want my vulnerability to be weaponized in that way. Like, God forbid I have a bad day.
Yeah, then now, you're the angry Black woman.
Now you're the angry Black woman, or now she's the emotional woman.
Yeah.
Like, now we can't depend on her to show up and do her job because she might have a bad day.
Do you feel like it makes you weak?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, to be vulnerable, and I can be vulnerable in closed, like, I don't even know if I can say I can be because I'm struggling like with different levels of vulnerability.
Yeah.
But I feel outside of my house and my close friends and family, it's harder.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I can control what I give you. And as long as that always stays the same, then this is what you know of me. And you have no room to change that perception.
Because I'm in control.
I'm in control of what you see. And the minute I relinquish the control, now I can't. I'm open to attack or judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't, I think it's always like these moments, some people call it like pillow talking, where you're in a vibe with somebody, like, I'm just going to give you the key. I'll never give somebody the keys to kill me.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is, because again, I trust people to be people, but I think it's like these little moments where you're feeling safe with this person. And maybe that's a challenge that I've always had, but I've never felt safe with people.
Ever.
I feel safe with my daughter because she loves me regardless.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason that she loves me. She just loves me because she loves me.
Mm.
If you date somebody, your wife loves you for a reason. Like, there was some qualities that you had and your wife said, yo, I like those qualities and I think you'll continue to give me these qualities, so we're gonna get married, right?
Guess what? Actually, your daughter does love you for a reason. Because, and how old is she?
Two.
She two.
I was about to get rid of him. He took his jacket off. He said,
it's
not here.
That conversation is,
if
I have a point to prove.
I'm sorry, don't take your jacket off, then it's a wrap.
No.
Right.
I got a little hot.
Yeah, a little warm.
But what I was going to say is because I've heard a lot of men say they love their daughter more than they love their wife. But what
I didn't say that first.
No.
Hey, honey, I didn't say it. He talking. No. I don't know. I don't agree.
No, but it's because of that same reason. It's because a daughter comes from us and is no motive and she didn't ask to be here. But at the same time, she loves her father because he is her provider, her protector.
Mm.
And what you'll notice is, what you're going to see later, is that your daughter will also play on you the same way a woman in the world will play on you.
Wow.
Daddy, I need a car.
Wow.
Daddy, I need a diamond Cuban chain.
That's a fact.
Daddy, I need this. For and sure. Literally will have you
over
on
fruit snacks.
Will have you on skid row and have you taking care of her kids, have you picking them up, dropping them off, and you losing your mind and you like, hold on, how is my daughter? But she's not at that age yet. But even when you think about it, Watch your 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. Watch how she...
Oh, she be playing me all the time.
You see what I mean? But you don't equate it to that because you love her. Yeah. You're going to protect her. You're going to provide her.
And he thinks she's innocent.
Yeah. And she's loving you, like you said, because you're giving her that consistency of knowing you're going to be home every night, knowing she can depend on you, knowing you'll be there to change a diaper. Like, she's used to that, because if you weren't doing that, she wouldn't just naturally still love you.
Yeah.
It's a lot of women who have fathers that know their fathers that don't love them just because they weren't that figure that they needed.
Yeah, but I mean, the reason I think it's different is, one, like when I'm in, when I come in the house, she runs to me, arms every time.
No matter what.
Yes, it's not because I have something for her. Mm. It's literally unconditional love. And when I spank her, she'll still hug me and get closer because she just loves her dad, period. So in terms of, and it's not like I need to tell her my deepest, darkest secrets. There's a different... I've never felt this way about anybody else in my life. But for other adults, I know how to measure what I'm giving. Like, I never give you something to kill me, period. There's not these moments of pillow talk that I'm ever having with anyone that says, you know what? These are my secrets. These are why, you know what I mean? I just don't do that.
A question, and maybe everybody can answer based off what you're saying right there. Because you keep mentioning the human factor, right? How, like, you don't trust. Like, it's hard to trust because people are going to be humans, right? Mm-hmm. Is there anybody that we 100% trust in our life right now that we're 100% vulnerable with? Is there anybody?
I don't think that we trust ourselves 100%.
I don't think 100%.
Yeah. Nobody?
100%? You still have those...
99%.
Yeah. I trust my mom.
Yeah.
Okay. I know for a fact, no matter what, and because I've been through seasons and things with her, I know for a fact, no matter what, she's still going to love me.
Yeah.
Even if she disciplines me or chastises me or teaches, you know, because I'm grown now, but she might still enforce the truth of the matter, but she's still going to love me. I'm still, no matter how much I mess up, no matter how bad the mess up is, because I've been there in a space where I thought no one would love me. And then she told me, like, no, you're my child. I'm always going to love you.
So you fucked up.
Yeah.
But you might.
But you expect. So I trust her to love me, like that. Yeah. But other than that, no.
Yeah, my mom was the same way. I mean, she's, because I think the nature of that relationship, like parent and child, it's not like we got together for a reason. Yeah. Everybody else that's in your life, they liked something about you. Even your day ones, your best friends, something there.
Yeah.
So my mom was that same. Your mom.
And I don't build trust. I'm the opposite. I give trust.
And then let them mess it up.
Yes. Which causes me to be more vulnerable. And like you said, I still have boundaries. Everybody don't know everything. But I trust very easily. And I get, you know, I've had issues with that, but I'm saying I give trust first. I don't build and let see your track record before I'm vulnerable. I just am vulnerable.
Yeah,
and not always, all the time, but I'm kind of the opposite. So I feel like I'm kind of upfront with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have two people in my life. One is going to be shocking, but one is my mom for sure. I'm like point one up under 100%.
Yeah.
Trusting my mother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I've seen her not change at all from before I became who I am today versus who I was. My mother would love if I moved back home right now. That would be like her
dream.
Her dream for me to move back and stay in that room again.
Yeah.
Right? My dog.
I was gonna say that.
My dog, you see, he
for
literally
sure.
He didn't even he like had to find me just now. They walked him just now and he was like, no, where's Alex at? He came
all the way to the window.
That dude right there, Richie. That dude he loves me.
Yeah.
My dirty drawers.
I was gonna say that when David mentioned like how his daughter runs up to him every single day, it's like, yeah, until one day when she's a teenager and you make her mad.
That's gonna change.
Yeah. One day and y'all might go through a season of not liking each other. So like me and my mom, and we're very open about it, we went through this almost 10 years of not liking each other at all, but she never wavered in her love for me.
Wow.
And her response, you know what I mean? So that's why I know I can trust, because I know that you're gonna love me even when you don't like me.
But isn't that unconditional love?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We experience it. You experience it with your mother. You're saying you're experiencing it with your daughter. You said you experienced it with your mom.
So more parenthood, mother, daughter.
Are experiencing unconditional love, but we refuse to give it. But we're saying we experience. You're saying I experience it. My daughter loves me unconditionally. My mom loves me unconditionally, no matter how many times I've effed up. My mom would love if I moved into the house right now. So we're experiencing, yet we're choosing not to do it.
Well, in other relationships, because those are.
But he's saying, I've never experienced anything like this, but with my daughter, and you're married.
And I would say the exception would be my mom. So I love my mom.
But I'm saying they're all saying the exact same thing. They've only experienced it with their parents.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying he's not even opening up himself to experience it with his wife. Mm-hmm. Showing that you can be that because you're experiencing it. You're experiencing it with two other Black women. But you're not giving that opportunity to your wife because you see her as human. You see her the way you see everyone else and not see her as something that was chosen for you.
Well, I don't think that's true entirely, because do I trust her more than I trust one of my associates, or do I trust her more than I trust my employees? Of course.
Yeah, I'm not saying
but there's levels.
How you view them.
No. I'm saying there's levels, right? So I can't. That's why when people say, hey, you just need to be more vulnerable, I don't agree with it, because it depends on the situation. It depends on the person. It depends on the level of vulnerability. I think I give everybody a level of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. When my assistant started working for me, I'm like, yo, here's my passcodes and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Did I give her my social security number? Did I give her like the keys and the security code? Of course not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I gave my wife, like we have a couple companies, it's kind of layered. And she has a percentage in each company. Do I trust her to do that? Of course. Did I give her 51%? No. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there's levels mm-hmm. to vulnerability. And there are a lot of people that are going off the advice of, you need to be more vulnerable. And you've been with this guy for 6 months. And people are telling you need to be more vulnerable. And you become more vulnerable and you get hurt. And it's not time for that.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be vulnerable with someone just because they have a title in your life. Do you know what I mean?
Agree.
I think that there has to be a certain level of wisdom that is sought out to say, who can I trust? Because like for me, I don't naturally trust anybody ever, because I believe that people are human. I know what you're capable of. You're capable of anything. You're a human. Mm-hmm. So if naturally I don't trust anybody, but I got to a place where it was becoming toxic to say that, like, I don't trust anybody, when I felt like for me, God was like, well, when did I ever ask you to? Mm. When have I ever told you in my word to trust anyone?
Yeah.
100%. It says, put all your trust and faith in me. And then by that, by me being guided by him, then I know he leads me who to trust.
With
there, go put your vulnerability there.
Yeah.
Go put your vulnerability there. But it's making me seek him first so that I can know where to place my vulnerability.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
And it's not a sense of like, oh, a title, she's your wife, so she deserves your vulnerability. I don't think you should have a wife that you don't feel like you can be vulnerable with. Yeah. Like in my mind.
Say, wouldn't you do have to earn that vulnerability first to become the wife?
Yeah, that's
right?
He's saying he has
the highest level.
But even so that first year, levels. Are y'all saying the first year that you're married to somebody, you should be 100% vulnerable? Of course not.
I'm not married, so I don't know. Never been married, but I thought that.
Oh my God, I've been vulnerable. My boyfriend.
Right.
Where I'm at. Single. They know all my secrets. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, we don't say shit.
Look, nigga. Right. If you say this, there's something
I'm saying. So, if you would have sought God out about what information to tell this boyfriend, probably wouldn't have done it. That's what I'm saying. It's like we're not. I've been divorced, so I feel like I know more about marriage than people that maybe are still married because I know the cost of it. And I would never, for me, would never get married to anyone that I could not put my full vulnerability in.
Full?
Because I'm saying I want this to be a lifetime commitment.
I want to So the same vulnerability as your mom,
you're going to share that with your husband when you get married.
Probably more.
Yes. I feel like I should.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Most men never fall in love. Mm. Most men never allow themselves to love. Now, I agree with you. Like, I don't agree with prenups.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you get a prenup?
No, I don't agree with prenups.
You gonna get one?
I don't agree with, you know.
Oh, you're not vulnerable. You're vulnerable, bro.
In a different position,
but
too.
Yeah, and he should, but I believe you should be completely vulnerable. Mm. But at the same time, you also have to know that even if you get hurt, there's healing.
And what is our definition of completely vulnerable?
That's
like, because to him, he's like, this is the highest level of For us, is it like, you know, all my deepest, darkest secrets? What is the definition of complete? There's nothing that you don't know about me.
I think that that depends on what you view. Like, if we're talking about marriage.
So from the Ruta to the Tuta, you know everything about me. There's nothing anybody could tell you about.
I don't think right. That's vulnerability, because I'm constantly, and as long as I'm alive, going to be learning things about myself, or don't know, or realizing things about myself. I think the vulnerability is I trust you to share things that I would never share with other people. So it might not
but
be.
I'm saying everything.
It's not everything, because I don't know everything.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm giving you enough, not enough, but I'm trusting you with things that I'm more vulnerable with you than I am with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do they need to know like what I wore in my fourth grade picture?
Maybe right.
Not.
Yeah.
But do you need to know that like I was sexually assaulted? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that. And that's a vulnerable thing to say.
I agree.
You need to know that. Or do you need to know that my credit score is, or what my relationship with money is? That's vulnerable, but you need to know you're my husband.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, I never had a thought and said, I'm not going to tell my wife this. I've never had that thought.
Right.
But I've never like sat down and thought, okay, what are all the things that I can tell her that I was?
No, I don't think it's that. Right. If something comes up, are you free to share that with her? Does it
feel
like
if
you,
stuff don't come
if
up.
You were like, scared like, about something or anxious. You said I get anxious sometimes. Yeah. You're like, I get anxious sometimes. Yeah. When you get anxious, do you open up and tell her that? Like, I'm feeling anxious right now.
No, but not because it's like I'm trying to hide something from her. It's just,
no, it's not about hiding.
That's how I handle my stuff. I just handle it.
Yeah.
As women, would y'all get tired of your man if he came to you every day with his stress and his worries and his fears and like put it on you and depended on you to like, you know, rub his head and
every
speak
day.
Life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would get annoyed.
Yeah.
Every day.
And when I say every day, I don't mean literally, but I mean there may be a season to where mm-hmm. you're going yeah. through for 30 days.
And that right. I'm okay with. But there has to be like, you've shown throughout the history of our relationship that you can be down for a season, but
back.
You know how to, at least you're taking the steps that are necessary to get yourself in a better position so that you can continue to lead our family. Mm-hmm. But if you're not putting yourself in that position to lead our family, then yes, that's gonna be annoying to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want a man like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that for women, it's different. And that maybe I'm wrong, but I think that marriage requires a different level of vulnerability from women because as your wife, now you are responsible for me mm-hmm. in kind of like every kind of way.
So, spiritually.
Yeah.
Monetarily. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it Basically. Might not require the man to be as vulnerable because, and I hate to say it like this, but men might feel like it was all going to fall back on me anyway. So if I have to fix it, why share it with you for me to didn't have to fix
yeah.
for it to be back on me. Mm. But as a woman, you're sharing with your man because
it's
going to help you fix it, or he's responsible for you. Like he takes on, I have to share my credit score because now he's financially responsible mm-hmm. for me. He needs to know these things. I have to share my sexual past because now he's sexually, you know what I mean? He's responsible
yeah.
for this. And I think that women, we should take on a level of responsibility more to alleviate men feeling that pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to take it up another notch. So we got two married people, and then
we're not married, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about vulnerability. What do y'all feel about the whole, a guy should always like you more than you like him in the dating stage? Like, do you believe in mm-hmm. the fact that if you reveal too quick that you're like head over heels for the guy before mm-hmm. he actually gets there, mm-hmm. that can hurt that relationship?
Guys Absolutely. That have always liked me more than I liked them have always protected my heart.
Sex.
Always. The guys that I like more, shit, I don't like.
Yeah.
The guys that have always liked me and respected me and loved me more than I like them have mm-hmm. always protected my heart.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
So now that you know that, do you find that now you try to like hide the fact that you might be more in with them than they are with you? Like has that developed like some type of defense mechanism because of the fact that you know what happens if it's imbalanced?
I think I take more time now, like more wisdom now. I'm not just like, oh, I like this. I used to be like, I like this boy, date one, this is my husband. What? This is my man. Like yeah. The energy, the vibes. No, relax. We ain't going off energy and vibes. Let's relax, you know? So now I'm more wise and I am like slow to being like, I like him.
Yeah.
You had fun.
Yeah.
Right.
You actually don't like his character.
You're infatuated.
A lot of times, what I had learned the same thing is like, did you really like his vibe or energy? Or did you go, because you liked him so much, you overcompensated for the vibe and the energy, so you really liked yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you liked
the fact that you had on him.
Exactly. Yes. So that's why, as a woman, it's important to, like you said, scale that back sometimes and just be more reasonable, realistic.
Yeah.
And I think women too, we kind of reserve ourselves from saying how we feel because women are naturally intuitive. So we kind of just know ourselves and know what we like kind of quickly. And then too, it's like, if you are the guy, like for me, I want you to lead that. Like if you like me, I want you to say you like me. I want you to pursue me. I don't want to like have to play games or drop hints for you to be like, do you want me? Then come get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't wait for me to like say, hey, I like you. Like, I don't want to lead you into that. Like, I want you to know for sure. Yeah.
I think that women, when we overexert ourselves or we are the pursuer, then it kind of makes the man feel comfortable. Like,
oh, babe, right, I got her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now let me, because so they say men need the thrill of the chase. They need to feel like it's, you know, they're accomplishing something and conquering it. So if you just give it
every
to
time
them,
I've been mean, they've been on my ass.
Okay.
I mean, how do you guys see that? I mean, obviously you guys are married, so you can say from your perspective.
Even
like,
the fact that they're married.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, how was that experience? Like, because obviously our wives won. Like, they actually got y'all, right? So did they kind of make it a little tough for y'all, or were they kind of like just head over heels and you was like, all right, well, like, how'd that work?
Who pursued who?
I'm more vulnerable than my wife.
Wow.
So she's very stone cold. Like, she doesn't express her feelings. In 16 years of marriage, she has never said, we need to talk.
Wow. That's crazy.
She has never said that.
Because I've said that every other day.
Every other day.
We need to talk
every 45 minutes.
Oh, bro. I feel like that's why I give so much. And I call it human physics. Like, if you chase, they run. And if you pull back, they come. Mm-hmm. And so the thing about it is as a man, if we're vulnerable and we're giving, 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 we actually set a level of expectation that a woman cannot meet, because she gets so comfortable and spoiled that she doesn't reciprocate because she's receiving, receiving, receiving. But then if the man pulls back and he's like closed down and shut down, then she comes and rubs his back. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Here goes some food.
For sure, what's going on?
And so
you're being weird to me.
Yeah. That's the dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Can we
cuddle?
What about you, David? What about, what was it like for you?
I was about to say, David was like, I looked at her resume, her job reference.
I'm extremely logical, man. So I'm always thinking with my head and not necessarily my heart. But again, like I was saying, I don't know that I have the tools to do anything other than that.
Are you open to receiving those tools and exploring or no?
Yeah, but I just, yes, I am. But it's like, where do you get them from?
You have to start somewhere. Therapy.
Yo, that's why even this conversation, like,
you're like, this is why
I know when she sees it, we're gonna have a talk.
Yeah. But
in his defense, I think this is dope because I'm sure there's important. A million black men out there that are like, I'm not Tony, I'm not Alex.
Yeah.
I resonate with that.
I mean,
never been. And I think it's cool that you're open to the idea of it and even sitting down having this conversation based on vulnerability. And you're like, dangerous, don't do it, zero stars. You know? So this is the first step, you know? But
So what
and
do you
I
do?
Think you're being vulnerable.
What am I supposed to do?
But you're doing it now, though. I think you being open about my experience is different.
Accepting your truth.
Mm-hmm. You're being vulnerable right now and saying, hey, I think logically, I don't let love lead me. Like, that's being real.
Yeah. And I think that there's value in that, and there's a place for that. Mm-hmm. But I think that there also has to be a balance to everything. Yeah. I think it can't ever be more this than that. Has to be wisdom and logic and love and vulnerability and like, you know what I mean? I think that there's ways to get a balance in that, but you just have to be open to at least exploring those questions. Why is it hard for me to be vulnerable? What am I afraid of?
Or was there something that happened that made me be like, whoop, never doing that again. Like Alex was saying, like I expressed that, one person ruined it, and now I'm conscious of it. Mm-hmm. Like even if I might want to share, don't, because I know I've been through that.
I did get my first, I guess the first person that I, like the first girlfriend that I had that I loved, she did break my heart. And, but I never said, you know what, this next person, I'm just going to be standoffish. Mm. It happened that way. But on top of that, even in my house, as I look back, we never really talked about how we felt in our house. Like
growing up,
my mom, dad,
same.
We never had conversations about, yo, how do you feel? Yeah. How did that make you feel? Like, what was going through your heart in that moment? We just never had that.
I feel like a lot of us didn't have those conversations.
That is so common.
I'm thinking.
What the hell were you thinking? You idiot.
Being single.
I was never called
idiot. Being vulnerable. Are y'all single because of yourself? Or is it because of other people?
I definitely.
Like, are you the reason you're single? Or is it because of other people?
For sure, both. For sure, me. I am a big issue. I'm trying to figure out my femininity. I'm trying not to bring masculinity to relationships. I'm leading in business. It's like, you can't do that at the house.
Right.
You are not the entrepreneur leader here. Yeah. The CEO. You are the feminine woman. I'm trying to walk in my feminine and all the things and lose old traits that have caused me to make bad decisions in men, chasing things that I know it's like, that's not truly what you're saying you want. You're attracted to that. Why are you attracted? Breaking it down. So I know I'm an issue.
Yeah.
I am.
I'm in a relationship right now and I have a good man, right? And it's been a mirror to me to show me that, oh, you're not as good of a woman as you
thought
you were. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's because of that I am realizing if this doesn't work out, it's probably your fault.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not like, of course, like not fidelity things. It's like I said, like realizing like, dang, you don't know how to be corrected by a man.
Mm.
And the pushback or my lack of vulnerability, you know what I mean, in this situation, that because like I think relationships require that complete intimacy and vulnerability, but it's about challenging yourself to get there. And then now that I'm in this space, I'm really uncovering or trying to uncover some of the reasons why I have these roadblocks that are keeping me from being at that level,
good
being a better woman.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I definitely, after going through my divorce and like starting therapy and like unpacking all of it, all the things, I definitely played a major role in the mismanagement of my position as a wife.
Mm.
Not that he, because he has his own accountability to take on his part, but when I think about what a wife should do now, and I look back on how I handled certain situations, or like how it feels to be a stay-at-home mom and you've been, you know, taking the kids to school all day and doing the laundry and cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids, and he walks in and I'm like, your son did this, the stove broke, the this, and he's just like, I just walked in the house. But for me, I'm like, yeah, and I've been here all day. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Join the party. You know what I mean? Like, just not taking into consideration what that was like for him, or, you know what I mean? Or being able to even express that, being vulnerable. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't vulnerable to say, hey, like,
this
makes
me
feel super inadequate. I've never not had a job.
Yeah.
This makes me feel less than. This makes me feel like I have no worth. And I love those kids, but I feel like I'm useless right now. You know what I mean?
Like, go back and apologize?
No. Oh, I mean, not in that
post-divorce.
Way. But yeah, not post-divorce. While we were divorcing, I had a moment with him where I expressed certain things, not that specifically, but just certain things that I know that I could have participated in the healing. And I didn't participate because I was hurt. Yeah. So I just decided not to participate. But just knowing that that's not what marriage is, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is the person that is going to see the worst of you, and you're gonna see the worst of them. And knowing how to fight through that, knowing how to encourage someone even when they're in the worst place. You know what I mean? Like, I just, there's so many things that I wish I did then that would have made the end of this not so hurtful. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it would have still ended, but maybe it wouldn't have been as bad.
It's painful.
It's painful. And I know that I participated in that pain, which is why I will never make myself to be a victim of it, even though hurtful things happened to me. But I know I participated. Yeah. In it, like, I know that my lack of communication, my lack of awareness, my lack of my selfishness, my resentment, you know, so many things play a part into
y'all
it.
Y'all have men in y'all DMs that want y'all that y'all don't want?
Every day.
Absolutely.
I don't have nobody in my DMs.
I have
yes, you do.
In
you
my
just haven't checked the back.
Nobody in your DMs.
There's somebody in those DMs. You don't want them.
You gotta go to the other side.
I don't have quality men in my DMs.
Yeah, I don't have any men in my
DMs. That's the whole point. He said quality. He said, do you have men in your DMs?
You can look in my DMs. I swear to God.
They in there looking crazy.
That's crazy.
I swear.
Even in your request.
Crazy.
You gotta go to the request.
Yeah.
Go to the request.
Yeah,
gotta hit the request. Hold on, give it a second.
It's somewhere, hey, beautiful, good morning.
With zero followers, zero posts, holding
it's
a
mad camera. Women in this place. Golly, that's crazy.
No. Actual account.
No.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you meant like somebody you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I put the receipts out.
Zero followers, zero.
I'm just saying,
I'm talking
like,
about not a bot, but like a real
a
guy.
A real person. Y'all have regular guys. Like,
no,
that.
They're not regular. They're sitting on the bed with cats and they're like spaghetti.
I don't believe y'all.
And it's weird.
They just went to
so
my
never
DMs.
A guy like Alex. Like a guy like Alex in your DM.
No. No quality.
At the shows, don't nobody.
It's all women at my shows. I'd be so mad. I love y'all.
So your DM's popping.
Not now.
No,
Bree
used to have them in the
DM. I did. Used to.
Oh, you show him on Instagram? You show him?
Yeah, I definitely am very open about my relationship in public. I want people to know. And that helps. I feel like, look, I have a man. Here you go. Yeah, leave me alone. I don't want no.
They don't be caring, though.
They don't. But still, it helps some men. Like, sway away.
Men have some dignity.
Yeah, right.
Man, we being vulnerable, right?
So I've only been in one relationship as an adult. I've had one other situation where it was like almost there. It was like a 2.5 year stint. with me, man, like, I don't know if it's because I'm a Cancer, but I don't play with my heart. And I'm not one of them dudes that could just jump from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship. I don't got a bunch of ex-girlfriends and people that can say they had me in that way. Like, my heart and my energy is like so non-negotiable, bro. And I'm gonna just be real with you. Like, with me, I think that I really live in this "we're only here one time" model, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got one thing, we got one shot at this thing called life. And I'm very, very cautious on how I spend my one time on earth. Mm-hmm. And I just see it, you know, I'm not gonna get specific, but I see, like, whether it's on TV, IG, and even people that I've known, I see people that are in these marriages that are not happy.
They're not.
Oh my God,
it's crazy.
I've had grown men pouring their heart out to me in my kitchen, crying.
Yeah.
Not wanting to leave and go home, wanting to like find an excuse to like wait to go home, and I just refuse
to live your life like that.
I refuse
I agree.
To be that person.
I agree.
that's gonna be in an unhappy marriage because I got kids mm-hmm. with that person.
Or because you don't want to be alone.
Or because I got peer pressured from mm-hmm. family, or you're 40 now. Mm-hmm. I got to live with that person. And I'm just at a point now where it's just like, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have the pleasure of meeting somebody before I got into the space that I'm in right now. So for me, it's just going to be a little harder because I already built all this up that already. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
especially for you as a man. Mm-hmm.
So not even the cliche, oh, everyone, I don't feel like everybody just wants you for your bread, but it's just like, I got to have that third eye now because my information public record at this point.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, it's just going to take I don't want a perfect woman. I don't need a woman that's on my level. I don't need her to be successful. But, you know, it's just a touchy subject for me, man. And I fell into that, oh, you've been dating somebody for 2 years. Why you ain't make him your girl yet, or why you ain't married him? And I'm just like, I had to really get to a point where it's like, yo, I'm not living my life for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it when I feel mm-hmm. like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've loved somebody a lot, but I do not feel like I've been in love yet.
Why? Wow. That is so... But a I feel
lot
like,
of men say that.
But
I feel like it's more of a risk for men, for black men. Well, not even just black men, but for men to be in love than it is for us mm-hmm. because I feel like it's in our natural makeup to love. Like, mm-hmm. we are nurturers by chemical make, like, that's who we are as women. But for a man, like,
it's a big risk.
And it's totally like not, it's not. You don't feel like it's a risk.
It's the other way around.
It's so much of a risk for men.
But you got to listen to what you just said. If a woman's natural state is to love, a relationship is a reflection of the man. So when we love, the woman is already created for love. So she reciprocates our love 10 times. Mm. The biggest risk is for a woman to love because men don't often give love.
Wow.
And that's why our relationships and marriages are terrible, because women are giving love to men who have not loved. Mm. And they're giving themselves, and the man is not being vulnerable, he's not being open, and he's not being faithful.
Yeah.
So when a man tells you his marriage is miserable, ask him these questions. Do you watch porn? Do you masturbate?
Mm.
Do you smoke weed? Do you get drunk?
Mm.
Do you go to the strip club?
Mm.
Do you gamble?
Mm.
That's why your marriage sucks. Because a woman wants security. Mm. She wants trust. She wants honesty. She wants responsibility. She wants a man who her daughter can look up to and who her son can look up to. So guys hate marriage because they hate themselves.
Mm.
Ooh, I think marriage is beautiful.
The married men a question, because you said something like, oh, I refuse to be in a marriage where I'm unhappy. And to me, that's like so much responsibility, because I can't promise that I'm always going to make you happy. So yeah. That's the vulnerability. Like, will you leave me if we go through a year of unhappiness?
I think what he's explaining is like just staying for all the miserable mm-hmm. relationships that we see, like on Instagram, like he was saying, like, you look so happy, y'all hate each other.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't fixing anything. Y'all aren't.
And I do know good, successful relationships too, though.
For sure.
I'm just okay with waiting until I get that lady.
Or get somebody you want to work
like, you know what I'm saying? I'm okay. I'm okay with waiting.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the waiting. I'm asking about marriage. Like, is it fair to say or to give your marriage grace? Like, there will be seasons of unhappiness.
And I don't think he's met that person that he's willing to go through those dark times and unhappy patches with.
Right.
For me, in love is like, yo, I cannot see me going through this thing called life without you. Like, that feeling right there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm very confident that I'm going to achieve it because I have so much love in me.
To give.
Yeah.
I really do. I can't wait.
Yeah.
To be that man.
Yeah.
Because it's in me. I can't wait to do it. I already got it all played out in my head. The type of husband I'm going to be, the father I'm going to be. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to
tell
you what's blocking you, man to man. Yeah. And this is what I've seen as a married man. What's blocking single men is your preferences. She's not going to look how she looks here.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be a few notches under that. And then the love, the protection, the provision is going to bring her to the level that you envision.
And you're not just saying physically. You're saying as the whole package.
As a whole package.
Yeah. Mm.
She's not going to be there. But men are visual, so it's mostly physical.
Okay.
But she also not going to be.
She might not be that fast. But it's going to get you.
But she ain't going to be all the way.
Yeah.
And so the longer you single,
the more grandiose the vision gets, or mm-hmm. or you become less mm-hmm. likely to compromise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, got it all. For sure.
But
that's what
for sure.
I see with that's my, a challenge. When I was single and dating, and of course, as a successful woman, you raise your standards. And so when I was yeah. dating other men on my level or even above me, I saw that the more they had, the less they were willing to compromise mm-hmm. on any aspect of their life. It's like, I've made
this
it here.
Is who I am.
I'm successful. I'm Alex Good Energy, and I have this and this and that. So why would I bend to, I've, you need to get with my program because what I'm doing works.
Harsh reality.
Yeah. So
that's harsh reality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's yeah. a fact. That's I was there from experience. I was like,
because
that
we had Alex on the pod, and that's what he said. He was like, yeah, I need a woman to come help me with my purpose.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't, entrepreneur, you got your, I'm not trying to hear about your dreams.
But we talked about that at Invest. Yeah.
We did.
I feel like
that's
okay. And that's
yeah.
okay.
I don't need another.
That's okay.
Yeah, I need
he's
that
like,
support. I need
he's
that.
Like, I need you to come on and be a part of my purpose and what I got going on.
And
support what I have going on.
Million of those women, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Really? 95% of my YouTube 450,000 people is women.
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm.
And
I need to come do an interview.
I got
it.
It's a plethora of those women.
Yeah.
But it's just here and here that's not matching.
Yeah.
And that's why we got single men.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more than enough women.
But back to what you were saying about it might not look like what you think it will. You think a woman who's entrepreneur can't do that. Right? Until you get, like, for me, instance, like, me being on my own, y'all know, like, in my own career field, and then I got with my boyfriend, and now, recently, we got back together, and he has this...
After 13.
That's so crazy.
Right, we've dated on and off for 13 years, right? So, then, now that he's in this time, the break apart, he's built this company, and now that I'm apart, I'm like, wow, I've never been so eager to help build a company, even though I'm not abandoning my dream and my, but I can see me
being an asset,
being a complete asset and a helpmate to his purpose. Yeah. So you think it might not be a woman with entrepreneurship skills, but it might be her entrepreneurship skills that come in to help what you've already
come cool with. Challenges could be is that because you're so used to that, the one person that could be that one, the time she can't come over to your every beck and call, or she can't just go out of town with you because she got some work to do. That creates a strain because like Tony said, in your head, you got this ideal person that when I say, yo, just pack, don't even pack your bag, we out for a week. And they're like, no, I got work to do.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't like this. Yeah, 100%.
It might not even be working. Might be, hey, my mom is sick and I need to go choose her this weekend. Or, you know what I mean? It could be anything.
Yeah. But that backyard going to make it hard, bro. That backyard is insane.
Y'all, we're literally shooting at Alex's house and it looks like a resort.
Yes.
In Miami. And we're in Atlanta.
Personal club right now.
Yes.
You know, I just feel like it's possible for us to create a life. Like your real life could be a vacation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I want my kids to experience that when I already got my kids' room set up.
Alex.
You know what I'm saying?
Come
like,
on, manifest.
I'm ready. You know what I mean? But it got to be right. I'm not playing with my heart. You know what I mean? I know you're not 100% guaranteed to get it right. Mm. I know that. But, you know, not meeting my father and having that abandonment. Like, that's really the reason I want my kids. Like, I was always careful.
Good for you.
With, you know, the intimacy part of my life because I'm like, I got to stop. I got to break this now in my family. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I will be the father that I didn't have.
Good.
I will be. Like, it's, I've decided that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can't wait, but we'll see what happens.
So as Black women, in what way can... we help Black men on this journey to being more vulnerable?
Especially after you said there's a statistic that most men are not in love, like most men that are married have never been in love. Like that is warping my mind. I'm just like, that is insane. I believe it though too.
But that's not a statistic. That's just men in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just-
I believe it. I believe it.
Because we killers, we warriors. You know, this the same people that you sitting on top of a roof looking through a scope, blowing somebody's brains out. For a country that may not even love them.
Mm.
And then that same person is supposed to come home and drop everything and be vulnerable. Mm. And then the woman wants to be protected and to be provided for, but you can't be on the front line if you weak and open and scared.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard balance for a man to find, how can I be vulnerable but yet be a protector?
So how do we create that space for y'all?
It's
go ahead.
I don't have the answer.
Okay.
So I think what works for me and my wife is we are learning each other. So in the beginning, it was, so tell me how you feel. Tell me what's going on. I could tell something's up. Like, tell me what's wrong. And I don't want to share. And then it becomes an argument. Mm-hmm. But as we mature, if I don't want to share, she lets me not share. Mm-hmm. And when I'm ready, I can come. Right? So it's learning the other person. Right?
Recent. I gotta get off his back.
That's because I literally had this argument ten days ago.
Don't tell me what's wrong.
He was like, you cannot force me to talk to you when you want me to talk to you. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not trying to force you. I'm trying to help you. But it's like, no, you're trying to get me to have this conversation. I'm not ready to have this conversation. Leave me the fuck alone.
Trust me.
And you all.
Take it from me, a single man or dating man. Leave him alone. I'm telling you. Because the conversation can go left.
It does.
If you have it at the wrong time. I've had a situation happen recently where I'm feeling some type of way. Something happens at 5 p.m. on a Thursday, and I'm feeling some type of way, and I'm a really great communicator. Like, I'm really good at expressing myself and talking. But in this situation, I said, you know what? We normally text good night every night and all that good stuff. I did not do it that night, and I did not talk to her. Mm-hmm. And then the next, I slept on it. The next morning, I woke up. I had my acai bowl.
I had my chef come over.
You know what I'm saying?
I had my slaves walk after my dog.
Real talk. After I had my acai bowl.
A massage and my daily facial.
And I thought to myself, I don't need that bitch. No, I'm just
kidding. Yo, I had my acai bowl, and I just, all right, cool. And I made the call. Okay. And we had an amazing conversation. Mm-hmm. But I know that if we would have had that conversation in that moment,
it would have went a total
It wouldn't have went like that.
And she didn't pressure you to have it.
She didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I didn't answer the phone.
I went left on that so many times.
I was like, oh,
gotta wait till the morning.
And been participating in the
agitation of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that there can be a balance in it by saying, hey, can we agree on a time that I can give you that space? And can we agree that after that time we can check back in, and maybe if you're at a place that we can have the conversation, then we have it. But if you're not in that place, then maybe we set another timer. So maybe it's a day, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's 48 hours. Mm-hmm. But I think for people like me and you, because it's like a, let's, like, if I'm in a, if don't tell me that you're mad about something and then don't talk
and then
to
you want
to
wait a day. I can't.
That gives me anxiety.
Or you walking around the house acting like something wrong, but you won't tell me what's wrong.
That's like, that can drive a lot of anxiety. But you can just say, hey, all right, I get that you might need space, but we're both in this relationship. I need a conversation. You need space. So let's agree on a time that you're,
we can compromise.
We can do both.
Yeah. I got something for you. You have to have this conversation that we're having right now with your guy. When nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Not in the conflict.
Or just suppressing the need to know in the moment and saying, yo.
give him space.
Okay. And guess what? And he has, I got to get that same energy. I got to make sure that if the roles are reversed, I can accept what I'm giving out too, though. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But we have a conversation while we're in a good space. Like, look, there might be a situation that we fall out about
something. This is what we're doing.
If I'm not ready to talk, just understand, I'll use the example I just gave y'all. So now, if it does happen, now you remember, you know what? This is one of those things he talked about. Look, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. Not after he has his acai bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Not even in a good space. When it happens, just be mature enough to say, I'm going to let this pass. Because it's like, internally, I have so much to say.
Yeah.
And I want to get it, like, I don't know.
it's getting your shit off, and it's not progressive.
It's not productive.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all two things that helped me. And one, my dad taught me, he said, in a time of peace, prepare for war. Mm-hmm. And that's what you just described. Mm-hmm. When nothing's going on in peace, you prepare for war.
That's good.
The other thing comes from behavioral science. Me and my wife worked in a group home, and it has forever affected our marriage, because in behavioral science, you learn two things. If a person is not harming you or harming themselves, but they're showing a maladaptive behavior, like walking through the house mad, sitting and pouting, but they're not hurting themselves and they're not hurting you, you ignore, then you redirect to
to another topic, another conversation. When they pick up there, then you reinforce. Mm. The opposite is if they are hurting you or hurting themselves, then you stop the behavior. Then you redirect them to a new behavior, and then you reinforce that behavior. Mm-hmm. So when I'm walking through the house pouting, because my wife knows, yeah, like, yeah. Like, you know, like if I'm just, meaning like if I'm just sitting there, I'm looking mean.
Your wife know your energy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She will ignore me. Then she will redirect. You want something to eat?
I was just about to say that.
You want
and
something to eat?
And then she will reinforce when I say, yeah, I want something. If I say no, she'll say, okay, cool. And then she'll sit down and eat. Mm-hmm. And then that makes me open up because she's not reinforcing my maladaptive behavior.
It takes so much.
But y'all reinforcing the behavior. So now it makes the man want to keep pouting and keep acting up because he gets attention from y'all when he show that face.
Is it setting those kind of boundaries or setting like, not rules, but I guess they would be boundaries of like, okay, cool. If I have a hard time of saying what's wrong in the moment. So if you ask me what's wrong, my first initial answer is going to be nothing.
I'm good.
I'm good. Nothing. Mm-hmm. That's my first initial answer because I don't know how to say it feels too complicated for me to be like, da-da-da-da-da, right? But I need it to be checked in the way of like, okay, if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine, but you're not going to walk around here with an attitude. So take yourself somewhere. If you need time, take yourself somewhere. Don't be here if you're not ready to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be a thing for me. Like, don't, if you need space, take the space, but don't be in my space. Yeah.
So it's go to another room?
Go to another room.
Or leave the house, go on a walk.
That's not fair, though. That's not fair because it's his house.
Or I will leave. Like, somebody needs to separate.
But it's not fair, though, because you have to be able to give someone their space, meaning if they want to sit there and pout, but they don't want to talk about it, then let him sit there and pout. But when you tell him to remove himself, you're saying, make me comfortable.
I'm uncomfortable. Saying that's what I've gotten on my side. Like, because if I'm not ready to talk about something, I've been that person that's like, I don't want, like, nothing. But it's because I'm not ready to talk about something. But I know that my entire demeanor.
And you saying the man telling you if you don't want to talk.
I'm saying I can see how that's fair to be like, well, go take yourself somewhere then. If you're not ready to talk about it, then leave. Like, well, go remove yourself. Don't just be sitting here pouting because but you're saying that's okay to pout.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let a person be in that space. And also, we have to understand that we're not to fix everything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your presence is healing. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's sitting there and pouting and you're like, well, if you don't want to talk, get away from me or I'm leaving. No, if you sit there right there in it with them, they will start to heal.
What's the opposite of that?
And
because
grow.
I'm a person that I am anxious if you're pouting. I cannot walk on eggshells. What is wrong? I can't just go eat.
And I want to fix
anxious,
it.
And that comes from my childhood of going through that with the person that raised me. So that's trauma with me. You're pouting. I'm anxious. I'm sweating. I'm nervous. What do I say? So now I'm going through a whole emotional roller coaster because you're not talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what does this person do?
Now you know your pain point. So once you identify your pain point, now that's what you know you have to work on. So what you do is when he's pouting, you sit right there beside him and support him. You watching TV.
Lord.
You right there in their presence.
I'm like, what?
But when you do that, now your brain rewires. You build new patterns. So the next time it gets easier and it gets easier and it gets easier. But if you escape it,
for both people.
Right.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you, are you doing it because why are you getting anxious if he comes home and he's just,
I'm not even just talking about with a guy. I'm talking about in general.
But I'm saying, let me ask you, why do you feel that way?
I could say for me, that's what I was gonna say. For me, it's I feel like the need to fix it. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like if you're pouting, your friend, lover, whoever, if you're going through something and I visibly can see you're bothered and I ignore it, to me that's saying I don't give a fuck. So I never want the person who's going through it to feel like I don't care enough to try to get it or try to fix it.
Yeah.
But
no, we're not saying don't ask. But we're saying when they
Once
say,
ignored.
I don't want to talk about it, then you don't continue
I'm gonna say
the pressure.
This, yo. Like, it's okay sometimes to just sit in silence. Like, I'm like the king of that. We can sit here, we ain't got to talk. But what I do realize is that it takes a lot of energy to be, like, upset. It takes a lot of energy to like keep that pouting going on. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's almost like a baby that's crying. You ever just let them cry it out.
Let them cry.
Sometimes yeah. you just gotta wait it out.
Yeah.
And eventually it's like, all right, man, what's up? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so I've done that before too. Like everything don't gotta be an argument. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just get over it.
Yeah. I think it's just important because even no answer that we give is going to fix somebody's situation if their person isn't like that. Because we might say, okay, well, somebody's pouting, you just gotta let them go. Well, that person might be acting like that so that you can come fix it, right?
Right.
So I think
you gotta learn that person.
You gotta learn it.
Yeah, you gotta learn it.
Yeah, you gotta have the conversation.
It's like you start these patterns and it's like they're doing the psychological thing. Right. They're going to make their food.
But like exactly. Even when it's like, yo,
God damn, I'm playing the fucking therapy game.
Right. Asking the person, what do you want me to do?
And now they're going to make their food and sit there. Now I have to go.
They caught it.
That's good.
But sometimes I feel like it's okay that it's like that until you build the pattern.
Yeah.
I think like we're trying to go after perfection instead
first
of
try.
Just practicing. Yeah. Like just practice. Like maybe it will turn out great and maybe it will turn out bad, but that's the vulnerability in it. Yeah. It's like we are never going to achieve perfection.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fuck up, all of us. We're going to mess up. We're going to hurt each other. I'm going to say something wrong. You're going to say something wrong. I'm going to say something wrong. Mm-hmm. They are going to, we're vulnerable yeah. every day. We're
spend.
On social media. We're vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think this is something I'm going to go home and practice when I get home, but I've never asked my wife in this scenario, because it comes up where I'm just having a day. I don't want to be bothered. She's asking me, what do I got to, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I never asked her what she wants to happen in this scenario, or we create some sort of standard. And she never asked me either. She never said, hey, when you come home like this,
what do you want me to do?
Yes. And if she asked me that question,
do you even
when
know?
You're doing this, right, what are you hoping that I do?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in a scenario, it comes to my mind and say, well, I just need a hug. I just need to make sure I didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can come home like, hey, yep. It's not on you. A lot of stuff going on. I just mm-hmm. want to, then I feel safe to say, this is what's happening because I know the result.
Yeah,
but you have to have that conversation.
Gotta have
and
the
both
conversation.
People have to know their, yep. their play, like, what's your role?
100%.
I'm gonna do this,
mm-hmm.
and you're agreeing mm-hmm. to do this.
You're just gonna
and
leave me alone.
And all we're gonna like do that. Is practice it and like commit yes, to the practice of yep. it.
That's
but
good.
Both people have to be willing to have the conversation, yeah. and both people have to be willing to play a part.
Yes,
because it's not on me to make you comfortable, and it's not on you to make yeah. me comfortable.
Right. And
it's on both of us.
And after it happened 2-3 times, you can't start getting tired of the way things. Are planning out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's our anxiety. Like, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna let it ride this time.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your third time, bro.
Right.
We gonna talk.
What's
right?
up? Yeah.
We gotta
keep walking around here with no attitude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Y'all, well, this was a good ass conversation.
Yeah.
Good. Have you been dreaming of starting a podcast just like this one and you haven't been able to figure out how to do it? Don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from using your voice, your story, and your expertise in your field to impact the world. I'm Carla Womaris, and I have helped over 800 people that look and sound just like us launch their own podcast. I'm also the producer of the Know For Sure podcast and many of your favorite pods. I have a special offer for the Know For Sure listeners. 50% off my signature course, Launch Your Podcast in 30 Days, is the exact same blueprint and formula that I used to launch and produce Know For Sure. You'll learn how to go from idea to launch in 30 days, including recording, editing, publishing your show to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and all the platforms. And of course, how to monetize your show. Visit ideatolaunchpodcast.com today and use code KFS50 for the self-paced course. I'm looking forward to welcoming you to the Idea to Launch podcast family. Y'all already know how we end every episode. We end with, what do I know for sure after this vulnerability table talk? And what am I saying no to for sure?
Mm.
So a hard no, a hard non-negotiable NO. And what do I know for sure after this talk?
I'll start with I know for sure that I need to be a better communicator.
Okay.
Even when I don't want to communicate, just like communicating what to do when I don't feel like communicating. I think I need to do that now. And what am I saying no to for sure?
I would love to hear David scream just once. Like, what is your raising your voice sound like? You're so
don't
like,
do that.
I know he's like he has the same tone.
He's so chill.
So chill.
Yeah. No, really, I don't even yell at my daughter. Like, I'm like, hey, stop. Hey, you gotta stop. You gotta stop.
You have to.
And
stop.
If she doesn't listen, I hit her.
I hit her. I smack her in the ground. I be on them thighs.
But I'm trying to teach her that I don't need to raise my voice to let you know
get
that
I'm serious.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I'm saying no to for sure. Like, we're not. I'm not giving up on growing as a person. I just know I got so many issues, man. That,
that I've never talked about with anyone.
I do. But I never like really spent time to identify why I am the way I am. I just accepted this is who I am. And it's pretty cool because my wife has accepted me too, which is why I think we're working well. Mm-hmm. But I am not giving up on growing as a person.
That's good. Love that. Alex?
Mm-hmm. I know for sure, especially after this conversation, the power of just talking. And y'all asked earlier, you know, who has a therapist? And I quickly said, no, I don't have one. You know what I mean? But just even talking and even some of the things that I revealed in this conversation let me know, like, damn, just talking sometimes.
It's healing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it definitely helps, and it makes you realize, like, oh, shoot, like, I do need to work on this. You know what I'm saying? So I know for sure now that I definitely want to get a therapist.
We just sent a black man to therapy. Yeah, you can go to.
I always toyed with it and said it, but now I've confirmed it within myself.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's like not even just about hearing what the therapist has to say, but sometimes you talk yourself into your own answers and revelations
Really?
Oh my God.
Like, therapy.
Every time I say something about working out, I get a million DMs from the cleaners. Like, all right.
Again, what I said earlier, like, I'm not negotiating my happiness. I'm not negotiating my one time on earth. And because nobody's responsible for our happiness but us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I am saying no to negotiating my happiness.
Yeah. I love that.
Love it.
Tony?
I would say I know for sure that there can be victory in vulnerability.
I love that.
We don't always have to lose when we're vulnerable. Mm. And what I'm going to say no to is ego. Mm. Because I feel like by crucifying the ego, it'll allow me to communicate more effectively and get ahead of things, like preparing in the time of peace.
Mm. I love that.
I know.
Breezy?
Okay, I know for sure that I need to shut up.
Good for you.
I know for sure that I can sometimes be the problem. Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
Play as fuck up too. And I am saying no to settling and stopping there. Like settling in the chaos or settling in the, okay, now that I know that I can be the problem, I'm gonna say no to just sitting in that. I'm gonna work to, you know, grow and develop my relationship skills, because ultimate goal is to be married and to have the love of my life. Yeah. So whether it's this relationship or not, I still need these skills. Mm-hmm. So I can't stop here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. So I know for sure that I'm going to tap into more of my feminine energy and lead and create safer spaces for Black men and work on me so that I can cultivate that vulnerability energy, pull it out of my man. Women got power, y'all. And I know we got it, but we got to tap into it. So I know I need to work on that and stop being so all the time. It's like, bite my tongue. What am I saying no to? I'm saying no to shutting down based off being hurt. Mm. Like shutting down, putting those walls up. I'm gonna keep trusting, keep going, keep being vulnerable and taking that risk on vulnerability and love.
Good.
What I know for sure is I'm super grateful to have the men here to share that vulnerability on camera and like tap into that in different ways, like how each of you had different perspectives. Like I know for sure, like I'm super appreciative of that and would love to see that be perpetuated from this. Like I wanna see more men be vulnerable in more conversations like this, where we're not screaming at each other, we're not throwing water at each other and being like, fuck you, and, you know, cussing each other out, but we're just having like intelligent conversations and learning from each other. So I know for sure I appreciate that. I'm gonna say no to, I don't really want to say no to this, but I'll be vulnerable and say no to shutting down my vulnerability. I think my vulnerability is part of my gift, and I think that it causes me to be hurt a lot, and it makes me not want to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So I want to be less vulnerable, but I know that it's part of my gift. So I'm going to say no to like being jaded and mm-hmm. hurt and being, you know what I mean? And just like not wanting to be vulnerable. I'm gonna say no to that.
This is great. Vulnerable on three. Okay.
I want to say this.
As we end, you know, I've done a lot of interviews, podcasts, etc. But my favorite ones are the ones where, like, after 5 minutes, you forget the cameras are here.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of those conversations.
Thank you.
So
thank
I appreciate
you.
Y'all
oh, yeah.
for
staying. You guys are watching.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, David yes. Chance, you guys. Alex Good Energy, Tony Kevin.
Make sure you follow these amazing black men that are doing amazing things. And Brie Renee.
This was great. She's at this point the third host of the podcast. She has been on so many episodes. Thank you guys for watching. Tapping in vulnerability. Tap into your vulnerability. Black men and black women. I'm B. Simone.
I'm Megan Ashley. We love you guys.
No for sure podcast. We'll see y'all next week. Love y'all. Bye. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
And follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.